This episode of Talkin' Shop is sponsored by Athletic Greens. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy recovery, focus, and aging. Visit athleticgreens.com/Hoots, H-O-O-T-S, to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Sorry, Rhino, it's actually our crackpot.
So, My bad.
I have to be honest, though. If you notice our setup, it's not bad.
Actually, it's not.
Besides,
it's not.
If I, you have to, like, anyways, guys.
Well, Terry, this started with an iPhone, and that was it.
Just really?
On a table with recording.
You guys are moving on, onward and upward, huh?
Well, and if we don't fly in our guy who flies himself first class on Delta all the time, and we ask him to do nice. Southwest and
spiel. $700,
boys. Son of a bitch.
Hold on, I thought it was $600.
Yeah, wait a minute. Why does this shit keep going up?
It keeps going up.
Did you go get some Armani suits while you're at it, pal?
Yeah, right.
It's like when Rock was stealing the podcast money to buy used sobs with.
Yeah, well, nice. Rocky's still stealing the money. So something's going on. Rocky Romero, at Azucar Rock, pay our taxes.
Please.
Guys, Rock has not paid our taxes for 2021 yet. Terry, you're a businessman.
Yeah.
How wrong is that?
That's very wrong.
Highly wrong. He's ruining our lives.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might want to get someone else to do your taxes. Uncle Sam does not do a job, I'll tell you.
He always comes back and wins, right?
Right. Yeah. You might get him on the ropes a year or two, but he's going to nip up and he's coming. Yeah.
He's going to gore your ass.
Right. Big LG knows all about that.
Oh, I know. I got God about 10 years back.
Yeah. That's what my dad said. My dad got into a bad situation, and he goes, I realized if I just called them, and they were very nice, and they set up this payment plan, and I go,
I do disagree with them being
for
very
15
nice.
Years. You did bad things.
Well, hey, man, this is a public fucking forum here, pal.
Hey, guys, here we are. We're live in Dallas. What's the name of the place? The Bomb
the
Factory.
The Factory Dallas.
We're actually here. We're actually in person. We're at the arena. We looked around. We said, we got to find somebody to do a podcast with. You can't look around the room and not point out
the legend.
We pointed out today. The Machine Gun's here. We got Balls Deep, Billy Emilio.
Always.
We'll explain that later, Rhino.
Sure.
I was going to say.
We got the big LG. And, of course, we've got our special guest, the legendary Rhino. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate
and,
it.
And the real story is everybody else was busy, and I was the only one in the room.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Yeah, I know.
That's not true. I got to put you over.
You can't make fun of yourself.
Well, we know all about that.
Right. That's kind of how we build our comedy.
Right.
Yeah, self-deprecating humor is less offensive. More offensive in every other way, so we have to have something.
Every time we say something, we realize it's self-deprecating and it's true, and it kind of hurts.
Right,
yeah, it's not good for our psyche, but it's fine.
Hey, it's kind of like counseling. You know, you got to talk about your problem.
Therapy.
Yeah, laugh about it, cry about it when the mics are off.
You know, of all the things that I always say, and you can look at of the career of Rhino, of our friend Terry here, I put you over all the time, and I've never told you this, but whenever a promoter asks me who I think they should book for an independent event, I always say my number one choice is Rhino because he's been on TV consecutively for what?
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years.
Now, yeah.
He looks the same and he's over. And he works.
Yes. And I drive.
That's true too.
You're flying him first class.
Yeah, what the
I'm
hell,
not
bro?
Corner this guy for gas money.
Yeah. Where's my transpal?
Balls Deep Billy, hold on a second. So will you take over Balls Deep Billy's deal? You'll drive to the places.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if we'll
What's going on, Balls Deep?
I don't know if we'll do any podcasting.
Just so you know, I don't know how to work the equipment, so you might not.
All right, we need Balls Deep to fly himself.
Yes. All right, fine, Balls Deep.
We need you, Balls Deep.
Maybe book yourself main cabin, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, come on, man. Maybe 30D instead of 4C.
You can get an exit aisle. I'm fine with it.
I was going to say, too, yesterday before a hardcore war match, that we almost didn't, you know, that's all business, of course.
Of course.
The Babyfaces cut a promo, and Rhino was cutting a promo, and people started going nuts for it. And I said, fuck, dude. I said, Rhino is timeless.
He's timeless. He's the war machine.
I said that to Eric Young before we went out and the Gallows. So the timeless Rhino.
Timeless Rhino.
We just put you over yesterday, behind your back.
Yeah, we did a behind your back put over.
Well, it's funny because they go, ECW Rhino, and the fans love ECW Rhino.
Of course.
You know, cutting the promos like that. And I'm like, can I say this, and this? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, wow, you're giving me a lot of
a lot
leash.
Of rope.
You know, I, I might go real far out. I don't know. Can we cuss on here?
Yeah.
I
almost, oh, fuck okay. Yeah.
It's I was going to say, I thought you cussed. I didn't know if you slipped and you'll bleep it out.
No, but, no, okay. No. We, cussing is fine. It's, yeah. It's an ECW-friendly podcast. Everybody.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up Rhino. Like, we all left the WWE a couple mm-hmm. years ago, whatever. But, like you let your contract expire, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. See, yeah, that's what he chose to go.
I remember hearing about that and going, fuck, that's cool. And then we wanted to do that too. And then our whole story.
And then we fucked it
our
up.
Our whole story. Yeah. Listen, I'm trying to have a good day. All right. I don't want to take myself back.
No.
But my point is, like, why did you do that?
They offered me the biggest contract they ever offered me.
What year was this?
This was in 2019.
Yep.
And the thing was, it wasn't like, oh, F you, I'll one-up you, or I'm better than this or better than that. They had a lot of guys under contract. Heath and I, we were on the road only like one house show loop a week or a month.
Yeah.
And I love being on the road. I just enjoy it. I just enjoy being around the boys. I like to work. Yeah. And you know, I would be sitting home more, but making money. And then just going into TV, I was becoming miserable.
Yeah.
And I was hating not just not the wrestling business. I was just hating life. I talked to Scott when I was able to. And he's like, yeah, we'd love you. But, you know, we have a budget. It's pretty tight, you know, but you could go out and do indies. And I always enjoyed the indie scene.
You like the independence.
Yeah. Because I like finding that talent, helping the talent out. I like being on the road and I can drive. Yeah, yeah. So if I can help find the next Rock or the next Austin or the next Good Brothers, you know.
Right.
Hey.
So the Mount Rushmore of wrestling, you say, huh?
Right. So, and that's the goal, is helped out that
Rocky
next
Stone Cold and the two Bald Brothers sitting there. Two assholes. What the fuck are they doing up there?
You know, I want to shift gears for a second. There's something that I've never sat down and talked about, but it's really interesting and super cool to me. I started really, really young, and I got on TV really, really young. I was lucky that way, but I never realized until I knew you for a while how young you were when debuted and you're on ECW and you win the world title. Were you like 20?
23, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I started when I was 18.
Yeah, let's get into all that fun stuff.
I did too, but I didn't realize you were that young and that big of a spot.
Yeah.
You were, and then you just kept on running.
Where did you start at?
I trained at Can-Am Wrestling School in Windsor, and then from there, I was just starting on the indies, and, you know, that was back when you had to get people your VHS tape, you know?
And your paperwork, resume, like a real...
Yeah. And then I got booked for Otto Vons over in 97 over in Germany. That was a blast.
Yeah.
Over there with PCO.
That's your first time going overseas, huh?
Yeah.
And you're what, 19? 20?
Yeah, I was 20 when I went over there.
That's cool.
Yeah, for the championship match, 20 or 21, and then... Yeah. I was with Carl Ouellette, PCO, and we became tag champs over there. That was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah. Actually, we never lost them, so technically we're still...
So technically you're pretty much still the tag team champion of Germany.
Yeah,
so you're on the Mount You guys might be on the Mount Rushmore beside us.
You guys might be right up there with us.
The Mount Rushmore of Germany.
Yeah, Rocky Maivia and old Stone Cold and the Good Brothers.
Yeah.
So then does Paul see you, or how does that come about?
You know, I never wanted to go to ECW, believe it or not. I thought it was just all blood and guts.
I never did either.
Yeah. So then Ulf Herman came back in 90. He went over there in 98, and then I had a tryout with WWE. Nothing came of it. The tryout match was great, but the camp, it was just whatever could go wrong went wrong. And then the one time I wrestled Christian, it was a great match. The camera was broken, so they couldn't record it.
That's
a
fucking rip.
And nobody was there from the office to watch it, right?
Everything happens for a reason.
Exactly. So anyways, that's when Christian got hired and Teddy Hart got hired. They were the only two out of that bunch. That's when Dory Funk was running the camp. So I went back to Germany. I was already booked there. And then Ulf Herman was like, I was in ECW for that summer traveling with Sabu and stuff. He goes, you should think about going there. And I'm like... Well, how is it? And then he was telling me how they had wrestling matches and like a strong style and, you know, in the wrestling matches and not a lot of people, you know, would get color, you know, and so, and not every match had barbed wire or nothing like that. So I'm like, well, you know what, maybe I'll give it a shot. So right when I got back in late 98, early 99, I contacted Pee Wee, the referee. And
I know Pee Wee.
Yeah. And he got me in touch with, he goes, okay, we're going to be in Detroit. We'll do that loop workout. And yeah, so it was Grand Rapids, and the workout was good, but there was a lot of people in there. And he went up to Paul saying,
So did they just hold a tryout before the show?
It was like a tryout workout. Yeah.
Will Heyman watch?
Yeah, he would watch. And then right when Pee-wee goes, hey, what do you think of the guy in the ring right now? And I threw a weak clothesline because I was clotheslining the guy in the back of the head. Yeah. Like, and I didn't want to hurt him. He goes, well, we need to tighten up that clothesline on him, but he looks pretty solid. And then Paul just pulled me off to the side and he goes, how old are you? And I'm like, 22. He goes, really? He goes, how tall are you? I go, 6 foot. And he goes, wow. And Taz was there too, you know, and they were sitting at the announce table. He goes, wait around. I want to talk to you after the match, you know, or after the show. Yeah. So 3 o'clock in the morning after all the pre-tapes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he goes like this. He goes, what's your name? And I said, Rhino Richards. And Stevie Richard had already left. I think he was with WCW at the time. He goes, we could change your name. And I was always going to drop Richards. And he goes, did you ever go to WWE or back then it was WWF or WCW? I go, I'd send stuff to WCW. They'd never send me a letter back. All my buddies would get letters back. I'd send it to the same address. And I heard they were really good at sending letters back, but they wouldn't even send me a letter. Like, I feel left out, you know, and I would do TVs down there and stuff. And Paul goes like this. He goes, well, what about WWF? I go, Jim Cornette really took a liking to me and he really likes me. And I swear to God, Paul Heyman, he looks off to the side and he's like, huh, we do have something in common. And I never knew they had heat, right? And then he goes, oh, yeah. And then he just comes right back to me and, you know, finishes the conversation. He's like, you want a job? And I'm like, I'm here at 3 o'clock in the morning. Clearly. I think that's a obviously, fucking yes. Yeah. So I started a little while later. And the ring announcer, they go, oh, you're up second. The ring announcer comes up to me. We were in Pittsburgh or something. It was in Pennsylvania. And he goes, what's your name? I go, Rhino. He goes, okay, what do you weigh? And I go, 275, 280. He goes, where are you from? Detroit. And that was it. Yeah, that's when I dropped Richard.
You had a run, right? Mm-hmm. It was cool. Then you became the champion, right?
Yeah. He becomes a champion.
These badass promos, right?
Like immediately almost, it felt like.
Those were all one takes, too. That's bad. Paul goes, just hit this point, and fuck shit up if you want to. I'm like, I can punch shit, destroy shit. Yeah.
You were so intense. That's what I remember. Yeah. I'm like, where the fuck did this dude come from? He's insane.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow, this is fun. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So, is this on a contract? Or is it?
Well, after the first year. The first year, what was cool is because Sabu wouldn't talk to me for the first 6 months and I would drive the car. He would rent the car, pay for the hotel. He would not even talk to me and everybody would go up to I'll tell you the story behind it. Everybody would go up to him and say, hey man, your boy Rhino had a good match tonight. He's like, he's not my boy.
So would he just sit in the car and you just would drive? Not a
well,
word?
The first time, right? And he's intimidating when you first, you know.
What if he wanted a cookie?
Right. And you don't want to fuck up, right?
Right. Or some weed, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe you got to communicate.
Right. Well, we get in this van. It's myself, A.T. Hawk, you know, a couple Detroit guys, Sabu's in the back laying down, right? And he goes, drive. And I'm like, I'm at a red light. I'm like, what do I fucking say?
Do I do?
I'm like, I am. He's like, no, you're not. You're stopped. And he was laying down so he couldn't see the red light. I'm like, turn green. How the fuck do I answer this, right? So it turns green. I'm like, thanks, I'm driving, right? So he told me after 6 months, he goes, the reason why I told everybody you're not my boy and I wouldn't communicate with you because we wouldn't develop that friendship. He goes, because he would bring in guys, friends that would deserve a spot because they worked hard. And him and Paul had a love-hate relationship. Then Paul would hire them, bring them in, use them, fuck with them, and then get rid of them. So he said, with you, I see, yeah, in a weird way. And he said, I made it a point to make sure nobody thought you were my boy. So if you got a job, it was because you were talented. If you didn't get a job, it was because you didn't earn a job and you didn't deserve it at this moment in time. Now, whether Paul fucked with the people that were friends, I don't know, but that's his side of the story.
Sure.
And there were a lot of people that he used to travel with. So it was true, whether or not Paul fucked with them or not, I don't know. But yeah, so I'm like, that's an odd way of looking out for me, but it was kind of cool though. Because he is always, you know, and I worked at the gym, he'd always pay, you know, for my stuff. And I'll never forget one time we just got in late and all that. And I didn't want to go to a payphone because I didn't have a cell phone at the time. Sabu had a cell phone. And a lot of people were starting to get cell phones right around that time. And I was going to call my fiance at the time.
You ended up becoming my wife.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I go, I'll just call her the next morning. So we had to drop Sabu off. He had the motorhome, right? Drop him off and then go my ex-wife thought, she's like, I didn't know what happened. Yeah, I thought you were dead. So I tell Sabu the next time. And this was right at that 6 month part. And he goes, why didn't you just ask me to use my phone? I'm like, well, I didn't know if you'd let me.
thought you might like, say no. You didn't speak to me for six months, pal.
You're not my friend yet.
This episode of Talkin' Shop is sponsored by Athletic Greens. When it comes to making resolutions and it comes to eating clean and eating right and getting the gut healthy, Athletic Greens is the way to go. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy recovery, focus, and aging. I start off every morning with a glass of Athletic Greens, and then I head downstairs into my private gym and do about a 45-minute to 50-minute cardio workout, and I feel so great, so refreshed, and so energized to start my day. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/hoots. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/hoots, H-O-O-T-S, to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
What was the Jimmy Hart
show? I know, that's what I was going to ask that, yeah.
So we were down there doing TVs.
Are you doing WCW like in Orlando?
I was 18 or 19.
This is before ECW. Yeah.
So Jimmy Hart, and I told Jimmy Hart this story, which is great. Let me tell you the Hogan story, too. That's messing my...
Please,
continue. So I'm all oiled up, head to toe, right? Yes. I mean, I'm ready. Back then, you'd put oil in your hair, right?
We're two brothers, Rhino, who love a good dose of oil.
Right. Yeah. Gallison so I'm wrestling. I remember it like it was yesterday. I have a wicked awesome memory, but I was all in blue, right? Yeah. I borrowed the singlet from Scott, and then I'm covered in oil. I'm walking over there, I'm training, just jacked. And then Jimmy Hart goes, there's something about you. You got to look. And I'm, you're like, wow, my chest is blowing up. Yeah, I'm like, fuck, this is it. I'm going to get a fucking contract, right? So he brings me over. He brings me into this room. Kevin Sullivan, it might have been Jody Hamilton and Terry Taylor. They were in this room. And Jimmy's just like, look at this guy. He's got to look.
Look at him, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Sullivan goes, yeah, if we were doing a baby oil commercial. And it was like, wah, wah, wah. Yeah, so I get the hook. And
I mean, that's kind of like when we walked into that one room and Stephanie, like we thought we looked so cool. We had to do a opening segment with Stephanie McMahon and Roman and John. And Stephanie goes, yeah, a little light on the, what'd you say about the baby
oil? The oil. Like, dude, one time.
Just no handshake or nothing. No. She was so grossed out.
She was always grossed out by me. One time, I'm serious, this is a funny story.
I think they all are, of all of us.
Before Jesse and Festus, we were getting like our tryout. We were going to be pig farmers. Like, that's what you want to be, as a pig farmer. So we had to go get overalls and these dirty shirts and stuff. And she was like, you need to like look even dirtier. And I go, okay. And she's like, so splash a little water under your armpits. And she had water. So I was like, and she's like, oh, I'm not going to do it. You do it. And I was like, okay.
This is grotesque.
I thought she was just going to lather up my pits for me.
Like sometimes we'd walk in like the room that day, just the way she just looked at us.
Oh, she just disgusted.
<You're> disgusted. What the fuck are these guys doing here?
Actually, what's funny is she caught me drunk one time. I was wasted.
She might have seen us a couple times too.
Well, it was, this was like in 04 and we did that thing in ECW together. Right.
Yeah.
And where she managed me and it was really
that's
cool.
That's the WWE ECW?
Yeah, yeah. That was like in 2001.
Oh.
When the invasion angle.
The invasion.
Oh, gotcha. The alliance deal. There. I forgot about that.
Yeah. All the stuff right on.
I was working with Jericho and Jericho came to me and, I still learned so much off of Jericho just talking to him for 5 minutes. How can you not? And he goes, it's great that we have Stephanie in this angle because they're going to give the angle the time it needs, right? She'll definitely make sure, So I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool if you get involved with certain people and you get that time. Because you know how it is. It's like you don't have the time and, they don't run.
We couldn't figure out why they wouldn't give us more time with Enzo. And You know?
Right. Why the fuck would they?
There's no reason.
So the cool thing about it is if we're doing pre-tapes, you know, if we're doing pre-tapes, you know, you're always waiting for the sound guy, the light guys are there, yeah. Whatever.
Oh,
so
God.
We would talk about
forever.
Like, yeah, we would talk about like how, like when she was a kid, you know, she'd have to work at the office and stuff too.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. So we had that friendship, working relationship sure. type deal because you're just shooting the shit.
And you're spending that time together. You're just there.
And yeah. I was always curious about how the company ran when I was a kid watching it and stuff.
Yeah.
And then how she was friends with like Andre would just say,
friend,
yeah, that was really cool. And it's cool. Like that's one person I always wanted to meet, Andre.
Me too. Yeah,
so she was always cool. And then I remember I cut a promo and it was a live event, and I came back and she said, don't mention ECW, right? And they were, this was after that, the whole invasion. She's like, we're trying to get away from that. I'm like, okay, cool, because I wrestled Kane afterwards. She knew I wasn't drinking before, right? So like Nunzio brought some.
I forgot this was story about being drunk.
Yeah. Awesome. Nunzio
always had vodka.
So he didn't. Nunzio's bought big, some.
Nunzio used to be so cheap about his, but loved to drink so much.
Right.
He would buy
fill
these
the
little shampoo
up, yeah.
bottles up with vodka from home.
Shampoo bottles.
Yeah. Stuff them in his bag. Traveling shampoo bottles.
Yeah. So
you're
when
teaching me some things, Nunzio.
You don't need to hear that.
It's like yeah. So you don't have to spend $5.
Is machine gun drinking shampoo?
Is that Pert Plus or is he getting hammered?
Right.
Pert Plus. Sorry, Rhino.
No, that's okay. So Nunzio wasn't drinking, right? Because he was up later. So I'm starting to drink, and I almost finished a fifth, and I didn't drink at the time. Now I'm just wasted, right?
So it's his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's his prick. Fault. Right. So it's like, why didn't you drink? So anyways, we're leaving, and I'm riding with Christian, and we got a late flight. It was an afternoon show. And I don't know why I was throwing waters in my bag, because I'm probably like, waters, right? I couldn't take them on the plane, so right. I'm just throwing them in the bag, and I'm staggering. And she come up, and she's like, "Rhino, are you okay?" She wanted to make sure I wasn't all pilled up.
Right.
You could smell the alcohol. I'm like, "Oh shit, what a buzzkill!" That's what I thought, right?
Right?
So happy so, I ever.
Yeah. So, anyways, I think it's because we developed that friendship. Yeah. She didn't, you know, they didn't say anything to me, and
looking
it was before, And she's like, "I'm like, just grabbing a few waters, you know, waiting on Christian." He's driving. I wanted to make sure she knew he was driving.
Oh, fuck, that's funny.
But yeah, it was cool, though, because, and Hunter always liked me, too,
yeah.
You know, and he liked my work. So that was cool. So I was always in that position where it was like I had a friendship, you know, not where you'd call or talk on the phone,
right.
Nothing like that, but at work. So
we had a good professional relationship. That's what you have to have.
Right.
That are in charge.
We have a great Triple H Rhino story that you don't know, I don't think. Maybe we've told you this before.
It's a classic one.
We've laughed about this for probably
I don't
5
think
years.
We've told
it
you.
Was one of the most badass things I've ever seen.
So it's about 5 p.m.
And we are not booked, and this is when we're bad mood Betty's. We're being unpushed. We hate everything.
Yeah.
We knew we weren't on the show.
And we wanted to leave the building.
So get out of there, go to the next town,
well,
get a good meal.
Cuz you got to kind of sneak out.
So we come around the corner, and there's Triple H with his suit on. He's having a real intense talk with Finn Balor. Like, so they're talking about character, whatever they're talking. You can tell they're going back and forth. See the hand.
We hide.
We hide behind this giant bread crate.
I passed you guys.
You come down.
Heath was there. He stopped. I go, I'll be in the car.
He stopped with us.
Yeah,
and you kept going. You had the flip-flops, the shorts.
Well,
you walked in between, gave him a fist bump, and kept going. I went, that was fucking awesome.
We're hiding behind the 2x4s over there.
Looking through the cracks at you.
Yeah.
And then here comes Rhino in shorts, flip-flops.
Yeah.
In his bag, walks by and says, see ya. Fist bumps Triple H and walks out with his bag.
Oh,
and I went,
shit.
God damn it. And then we still snuck out the other way, though. I was like, anyways, let's go this way.
You know, sometimes when you're in the business for such a long time.
Sure. You can do that. You have that respect.
Well, I think they like when you do that because it shows the younger guys and the guys that are coming up. If I put in my time, if I work hard, you know, and I've main evented a lot of places where they put the titles on me. So it's like you get to a certain level, the younger guys, because I remember when I was first starting, Bret Hart would get there late. And it's like, okay, well, and I'm not comparing myself with Bret Hart. I mean, his level of work is way out ranks mine. But the thing is, younger guys see that and they're like, okay, I'm going to put in the time. I'm going to put in the effort. I'm going to put in the road miles.
Paving
I'm going to put
way,
all
man.
That. And then when I get to that, if I want to leave early, you know, and it's okay.
Yeah.
I've seen guys, and it seems like a pattern, if you get to a certain level and you leave like that, other guys see that. So I think that's why it was always cool with that, you know? So, and that sometimes I would go to the show late, even if I was ready to go, just so I'd walk in late. And then the guys were like, okay, you know, because it's almost like you're obligated to do that, because if you're late, then okay, well, I've still got to work my way up and give my life and time to the business,
right,
in order to do that. You know, the weird, how weird it might sound, like,
no, it makes sense though.
No, it's just we always just think about how we're little pussies over there scared to death, and then here you just walk
it just
right
was
out.
It was awesome. Yeah. Hey, what's the Hulk Hogan story?
Oh yeah,
you dropped us a few hints. I got to hear all.
I've never told him this, or I don't think I talked about it on ever, you know,
publicly. Rhino exclusive here on Talking Shop.
So I'm 19, you know, and you know, when you get in the business, you still have that mark side to you, right?
You're not allowed to show it, right? So it's like, you
especially back then, right? There was no cameras. Can I get a picture? Can I get an autograph? Even though you wanted to, right? Yeah. And Scott was like, you don't do any of that. I get booked. It was a pay-per-view. It was Macho Man and Ric Flair in the main event, and Macho Man had his dad, Angelo Poffo. Back then, you could dress with the boys, right? And I'm sitting next to Angelo Poffo talking, and I'm watching Hogan, and he could see that I'm kind of watching him out of the corner of my eye. He didn't have to work, right? He just walked down halfway, then security pulled him back. I was supposed to wrestle a Road Warrior Hawk tape one just to do a job before the pay-per-view. It's going to air on TV, but Hawk didn't show up. So they just go, you still get paid. We might have you dress as security and hold Hogan back. And I thought to myself, I'm going to touch him.
That's pretty right? Cool, though.
Yeah. And And I'm like, so they don't use real security. Like, it's a work, right? And I'm in the business probably about 6 months, right, of that. All of a sudden, he had his own little locker room. There's a cooler, you know, outside, you know, one of those where they put the pops, the circle cooler, and he reaches in there and he pulls out a beer.
Oh yeah.
Miller Lite, right?
Miller Lite.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah. And I thought to myself, you know, and I'm training, I'm learning, you know, carbs and all that stuff. And so I'm like, and he's got abs, and I'm like, beer. I'm like, the kid inside of me took over and said, he said, train, say your prayers, and eat your vitamins. He said nothing about beer.
He forgot to put that in.
Yeah, he was 44 at the time, so I know he's over 21. He's legally, he can drink. He's not wrestling. I'm doing all this in my head, right? And I'm watching the monitor, right?
So I'm like, 44, 95?
Yes.
So I this still is in my head, rent-free.
Hell of a longer run.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, you know what? One beer. I'll excuse it. The child inside of me.
He's a little thirsty.
Right. It's only one, yeah.
Right. You know, maybe, you know, maybe it's a ritual.
There's no water around. Yeah.
Right, it's for good luck.
So then he grabs another one.
Then you go, oh, boy.
Did he pound the first one?
Yeah.
He can put some beers away.
Yeah.
Do it.
So,
fuck,
so,
that's cool.
It is.
So I'm like, you know what, my dad, he can drink
have one
like
now.
18. Right. he would drink 18 beers and not get fucked up. So maybe Hogan can have two. Right? Now I'm comparing this. And then, so then he grabs a third one.
Now you're like,
now I'm concerned, right? because of all this, not
help,
because
huh?
of him getting out there and doing his job, but you know, now I'm concerned because of my childhood image of him.
For sure.
is being destroyed. So I'm making more excuses, right? Then he drinks a fourth one, and then a fifth one, and I'm really starting to get upset.
What's going on?
Well, by the fourth one, the Big Show comes back, because that's when he was sitting in the audience.
Yep.
They would show, and then they would walk off, and he had the trench coat.
This is the Giant.
Him and the Big Show, the Giant, are standing there. So, okay, his buddy came back. He has to have a beer with his buddy. So that's like the fifth one.
I love the excuses.
And then,
great. You're a great enabler. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Ronald, can you hang out with us more?
Yeah, so I'm right. So
maybe Gal is a little thirsty.
You look famished.
Yeah, let's
have a beer.
One. Yeah. Here comes a buddy. Have one with them. Yeah.
I'll talk to you. I won't be like Sabu. I'll speak to you.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks. Well, we're past that 6 month period. Right. So yeah.
Perfect.
So he drinks a sixth beer, right? And I literally said to myself, you know what, I'm fucking done. I'm done. Yeah.
This guy just put a six pack away.
Right. He is not my hero. I wish I never got booked for this, even though I could have used $150.
So how long did it take you to forgive him?
I still haven't forgiven him. I need an apology from him.
But Gallows actually knows him better. You guys actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, we spent some time together in TNA. He took a liking to me for whatever reason, but.
Probably because you drink beer.
That's exactly what it is, right?
It's like Gallows will bring some Miller.
Like, right? He looks like a big heel that Hogan could probably beat, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's why you like me. Yeah. Like, oh, you remind me of the guys I used to work with. I said, oh, cool.
The guys that used to take the leg drop.
Yeah, I'll take a leg drop from you right now, pal. Lay right down here. How many beers you got in you, by the way? But he would ask me to come dress with him because he likes to talk and shit.
Right.
By that point, he wasn't wrestling, and he's Hulk Hogan, the greatest promo of all time.
This is TNA, correct?
He can literally do whatever he wants, but I would be amazed. I'm like looking at him, and at this point,
it's Hulk. You know,
yeah.
He's as old as he is. He's jacked.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Yeah.
Beautiful women are always trying to come around him.
Yeah.
And I mean, he would sit there and eat 6 to 10 hot dogs with the bun and drink a case of beer.
And he looked
that
great.
And then
go out
and do an amazing promo and just be on. And one day I just said, like, Hulkster, is that your thing? He's like, that's how I've always done it. That's why I used to sweat through the title. I was like, he's beer drunk the whole time. How cool is that?
Did he drink every day? Because you have to have a balance somewhere, right?
I don't know.
Because there's no way the Hulkster drank every day.
Big Show told me that, like, Hulkster trains, like, 4 hours a day. Like,
He gets his workouts in
and double time.
Remember when we rode with Big Show for a while. He just told us a quick story about how Hulkster wanted him to come to his place, right, in Florida.
Oh, to train, to work out for Big Show's first match against Hulk Hogan when he wins the title.
So the Giant versus Hulk Hogan.
So he said, come here, I'll teach you, not these power plant guys who want you to
sell too much. That was in 95, Detroit.
He goes, bro, we went there and we stood in the ring. We drank beer for 3 hours.
No.
I want to go train there.
He said, where are we going to train? And he had workout clothes on and Hulk was in swimming trunks. So he drove him to the beach.
Oh, and they just drank beer.
And he said, we locked up one time and Hulk said, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then he opened a giant cooler and we just drank beer all day. That's all.
Please.
One lockup in the sand.
Tell us your Big Show riding because we could probably tell
months.
Well,
it was myself.
Just one time, one weekend?
Yeah, myself, Nunzio.
We were with him for like 3 or 4 months, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul Heyman.
So Heyman?
Big Show. Heyman and Paul would always ride together and we couldn't get a car. Nunzio goes, hey, Rhino, I couldn't get a car, but Heyman said ride with him. And Big Show, I'm like, cool, you know, and I always got along with Big Show, right?
Yeah.
And so we get in the car, and he'd pay for everything, right? And he had a really good contract, right? And
it reminded me of Sabu, awesome. Too, right? He's a generous brother.
So I would drive, and then he just woke up, and he goes, you know what? I got a craving for a fucking Susie Q, right? And he was in good shape, too. And, you know, you get a weird craving, right? And
what's like, Susie Q?
Like those little snack things. I'm like,
like a cake or something?
Yeah, like a little.
Like a little Debbie?
Like a little Debbie.
I got you.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what?
A little brownie.
Hey, bro, I got you. You sit back, fall asleep. I'll get you there, you know, and Heyman. And I love to drive, right?
Yeah.
So I pull into a gas station, and you see them all over the place. Didn't have one. I'm like, oh, shit. Now I'm starting to get nervous and flashbacks with Sabu. Drive. I'm like, shit, we got to get him.
Thinking about
Susie
when Hogan
Q, right?
betrayed you with those Miller Lights.
Right. So then I drive, and we're not like nowhere like way out in the sticks, you know. Yeah. I drive to another gas station. The fourth stop, we finally got one, right? And, you know, because he was cool, he was buying everything, and he's like he gave me money for it, too. And I'm like, no, I'll get it. You know, you're being so generous. So then we got him that, and then he would pay for the meals, right? And I'm like, Show, you don't have to do that. He goes, I know I don't, but you're traveling with me, and I'm going to take care of you, you know? And I'm like, well, that's really fucking cool, right?
Yeah,
so
great.
We ended up sneaking a bill. Very few times I've been in situations where I should have been scared, but I wasn't.
Right.
This time I was scared because we were sitting at the bar, right? He was at the end. It was Paul, myself, and Nunzio. We buzzed the waitress, you know, the bartender. I go, give us the bill. So we picked up the bill, right? He asked for it, and then they go, no, they took care of it. He literally leans over, looks at us. He goes, thank you, but never do that again. And I'm like, shit, I'm scared. Like, it was such an intimidating way he said it. He goes, thank you, but never do that again.
He's a good brother.
It's funny you went from Hogan to Show because, like, Show always says that Hogan showed him the way, and Hogan's cool as shit like that.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Just great dudes.
Yeah,
but,
cool when you don't break your heart.
One of the, one of the last times we did at AEW, we were sitting in a lobby bar. I don't think you were there, Chad, but it was like me and maybe 4 or 5 of the boys, and we probably drank, I don't know, 5 or 6 rounds. We're having beers, and Show's sitting across the room, and I went to get the check, and he had already paid it and just gave us a wave. Said, thanks for working hard. He's just a good dude.
That's the kind of shit he would book the car, and he'd book all of our hotels, and he'd pay for the hotels, too.
Well, here's this. Check this out. We went into the, it was in Philly. they go just grab a room at the Marriott, you know, and everybody was getting that $99 rate, right? Yeah. So okay. we went in and the guy goes, it's $199. And we're like, no, 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 we're with the boys, the wrestlers. And Heyman and Shope, because they were already checked in, they just, they go, we'll park the car while you guys check in. And then, you know, that way we'll kill two birds with one stone and the same place at the same time. So they're coming in and they go, can we see your car? The keys, we'll take the car. We're going to go to another hotel. They go, why? They go, he wants $199 for a room plus tax. Right. And, he goes, no, no, no. He talks to the guy. Show's starting to get pissed, right? The guy's like, no, they're it's like, listen, about. And he knew the guy that from Marriott. He goes, well, here's my card and all that. He goes, you know what? He didn't tell the person to F off, but he said something along those lines close, but you know, not where he could have been arrested. He goes, here's my card. I want two rooms. And we're like, show, you can't do that. We're not gonna fucking let you. That's over close to $500. Yeah. You know, there's just there's a line in and he's like, no, I'm gonna do it and call my buddy, and this guy's a fucking asshole, right? So you know, talking about him but not at him, right? So yeah. I'm like, no, show, we'll just go to the Red Roof down the road, we'll be here at a certain time to pick you up. But he was gonna pay two rooms full price.
But think about it, he can't go anywhere. Every gas station we went into or the gym, every if he would actually go to the gym with us, and he workouts
couldn't work out because
everybody coming over.
It's an hour and if he's in a good mood, he'll talk to him all.
Remember that time we were in Texas on that straightaway? I got pulled over doing 109 or whatever I was doing, and I was like, I'm going to jail. This is like reckless driving. I wasn't paying attention. He's like, no, I got it. He would always get us out of stuff, but he told the
got
cop,
him out of
here. But the cop was trying to be a dick.
He tried to be cool at first. He was like, oh, I didn't realize you were a big show after though.
Show goes, we're WWE wrestlers. This is so and so. And the cop goes, yep, no, I don't know. And then he goes, have you ever seen the movie Waterboy? And the guy goes, nope, never heard of it. He goes back, writes a warning, and he comes back and he goes, you're Captain Insano. Like, how did that happen? That's awesome. Like, I'm going to jail, guys.
Everyone knows.
Tell the office I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
Everyone knows. As we wrap it up, Rhino, thank you, man. This might have been the best one we've ever done.
You're a fantastic guest. If you ever feel like coming on and sharing more Rhino-isms.
Does Fink only come down from heaven when he's hammered?
Fink is a big supporter of my drinking. So if we do sober podcasts.
I like Fink not fucking ruining this one today. Love you, Fink.
I love you, Fink.
Rhino, we love seeing you at Impact. Thank you for coming on Talking Chop and anything you want to tell the fans.
No, just thanks for tuning in, and you know, tell the good brothers don't beat my ass too much.
Hey, don't worry, well, according to you, we're on Mount Rushmore. Thank you.
You guys are the first two.
Stone Cold, Rocky Maivia, and the boys.
Rocky Maivia.
Rhino, we love you, baby. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.